We finished the game. Lots of questions.
Lots of questions. Maybe some answers. We'll talk about it. Should we do the out-of-context summary?
Go for it.
In this episode, we go through corporate orientation. Rinse that sink out, please. And poor John. One of the puppies whined and it sounded like a loon. Down, down. Guess who it is?
Gus. For listeners, Gus is Tosa's brother.
Down. Biologically. We're not just saying that.
Yeah.
My parents adopted him. Thank you for coming back from our replay reviews. My name is Leah.
And my name is Kathy.
We are two friends who are here to replay, review, and analyze your favorite video games. And since Kathy has never seen the games before, it helps me view them through her fresh eyes, almost like I'm discovering them again for the first time.
We hope it'll be a similar experience for you.
Yeah, okay, we left off with the red hallway. So, we're walking through it this time. In a room, we find a printed email containing, a picture of Megan. It's an exchange between Dr. Matthew Cross and his wife, Jessica. Okay, so Jessica says, "Keep away from us, don't contact me again." And Matt says, "If you file for a divorce, you will regret it."
What involvement does Matt have with Sahara Industries?
And at what point? Because I was kind of under the impression, like, he started it to save Megan. But I'm starting to not. I think it's older than that. So further on in some kind of ward, we find Ethical Scientist magazine.
Isn't that ironic?
Isn't it? It has a picture of what we've been calling the artifact, right? On the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, "Ancient artifacts. Can this device bring back the dead?"
If that is the case, though, Megan is dying, not dead. So is this really going to be helpful?
Well, I'm looking at the theories, which makes it sound like this is sort of like a joke magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're saying that maybe someone from Sahara went rogue and took this information public. But because it's so insane, no one believed them. And so it was published in this, like, sarcastic magazine.
I do have a question. So in the hallway, we see those red paint containers, which makes sense. And our main character even gets his hands wet with the paint. So Are the monsters just humans pretending to be monsters and soaking themselves in red paint? Or is it that the monsters somehow got themselves covered in the red paint?
I have no idea. It seems kind of intentional. Like, I'm just confused. Why do we paint ourselves red? There must be a reason for that, right? We don't just decide, hey, I'm going to put this paint on my body and not have a reason for it.
And why paint the walls red?
Yeah, is there some correlation? Does the color red have some significance to whatever's going on here? Farther on, we see, like, observation rooms. They're full of, like, icky babies and dead monsters. One looks like a slug, and it's laying over a bed labeled John, so sorry, John. And then continuing on, I find Megan's crayons. After the flesh room, oh my gosh.
Is the flesh room the one where it's, like, a room where it's just pool of, like, human body parts?
It's just a big, the whole room is flesh now. Yeah.
It's disgusting.
No air in that room. Just body. Then we soon will stumble across a PowerPoint presentation that's still playing. Orientation slideshow number 2. So we see Longevity Medicine Through Jarus Project by Dr. Matthew Cross. And then we learn that this leggy octolady, her name is Virginia, or Subject 375B. And notes for her are developed multiple sex organs and limbs and facial distortions. We also see that the big creepy guy is Armsy, which we kind of already learned that. Subject 82C6 also has multiple limbs, face distortions, like Virginia, but highly aggressive.
And then on the earnings slide, there's one bullet point that talks about parents are willing to spend money on. What exactly are they spending money on, trying to revive their kids at the sacrifice of other young children?
I guess just extending their life. This seems to be Dr. Cross's project, right? So maybe it's something he took on when Megan got sick. Because it seems like she's sick. She's got the IV, you know, she's in a wheelchair. So I'm thinking he's probably trying to tout this to other parents as like, oh, we can beat their chronic illness, blah, blah, blah. but he's not disclosing. They might turn into a Octolady or a swingy, armsy guy. I have one more note on that slide. Do you have any more notes?
No.
Okay, also on the slide it says purchase of Peninsula and talks about, like, I guess that's what they did with some of their earnings. So that must be where we are, right? And that explains a lot that this is a privately owned plot of land.
I do have a question. I'm wondering if Peninsula is a second plot of land or the land we're currently on, because I thought we were on an island. Is there another plot of land, like the Peninsula, that we're trying to purchase, and this is hinting at a second game? That first we have the forest on this island, now we're going to have maybe the desert on the Peninsula.
Yeah, could be. Either way, I think it explains that they own this. Either it's the island or it's a peninsula, and then maybe they're doing the same thing on the peninsula, if this is an island. So yeah, I think that makes sense. But I'm confused, how do you do this elsewhere? Because I don't know, but it seems to me like some of the stuff that they need is like ingrained in the island, you know? Like it seems like it's built into the island, but I don't know, maybe it's more man-made than we thought. I then find a drawing of the tower slash artifact, and not long after that, a termination email. So this email is addressed to Matt, and it says, your employment with Sahara Therapeutics is terminated for unethical and inappropriate use of company equipment. Please submit your key card to security when you leave the building. Please let us know if we can assist something something during your transition. Warmest regards, Nancy Helen, head of HR. I can't be mad at Sahara for this.
Yeah. It would have been more helpful if they had key controls in place to prevent him from using it for personal reasons.
Scene 2. You ready for that?
Mm-hmm.
I hear an odd whooshing, almost breathing sound coming from the room ahead. I approach and inside is the artifact. The tower, we've been calling it. Which is a lot smaller than I imagined it being.
Mm-hmm. Proves my theory wrong, because I thought that the alien doors were that, and it's not.
But it's still the same, it looks like the same construction, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also connected to the bedrock, seemingly. So, like, was it a natural formation that they found, and they built this whole facility around it? It kind of looks that way.
That was my first thought. But at the same time, how did they stumble across it? And the video also made it seem like they were able to move this artifact around.
Does it just need to be connected to the earth to work, maybe? It also has tubes going from it to like a bed, gurney kind of thing, where we find another Megan drawing. And then we learn of a second artifact and another tape. So it's a tape labeled Second Artifact Test. So I'll go ahead and share this with you now. Okay.
The scene makes sense now that we know what that area is.
Right. It kind of looks like a giant bug butt, does it not?
No.
A little bit?
No.
Yeah, it does.
I have no clue what you're
like the about. Underside of a beetle.
Yeah.
But glowing. It does not look like the other artifact, which I find interesting.
I also have a lot of questions about how this artifact works, which we'll probably save for the end.
We also find an email. It says it's to Sasha from Matthew. We believe the device may be able to bring down a plane. And then to Matthew, please send me an update on the this observation of yours. God bless, Sasha. I don't think God is involved in this at all, Sasha. Yeah. Take it back. I wander around for a while, confused what I'm supposed to do. There's a button, but I can't press it. Eventually, I figure out Timmy's on the artifact, which looks painful. He's got, like, stalagmites going into his head and his body, but I yank him out and we put him on the bed gurney thing.
That's really sad to find your child like that. That made my heart really sad, and typically I don't have this reaction around like kids in games, just but like for some reason in this game, in this scene, it really makes you really sad to see that this is how you find your son.
Well, and he was just left there all alone, you know, like that's just sad. Nothing about, like, it's just, there's a lot of layers to the sadness of this.
And the music changed?
Yeah, the music changes. I think it changes because he gets the idea of, like, to put these tube things on Timmy to try to save him. And then it's like, oh, we need a new sacrifice to save Timmy.
Isn't it more ethical to just leave Timmy dead? I mean, it sounds really cruel, and I get this entire game is all about saving your child. But what are you going to do when Timmy becomes a monster and attacks you? Like, do you kill it or do you let it kill you?
I don't think he knows about that yet, or not fully. I don't think he has a full grasp of what's happening yet. I'll come back to this question, though, at the end of the scene.
Okay.
Based on the decision I make at the end. But I realized I forgot. I skipped a note. So there's a red painted guy, I think, dead. And behind on the whiteboard, it says, Daddy's dead, with a frowny face. So this must be Matthew Cross, right? And Megan wrote that? I mean, I don't really know what the significance is, but I feel like it's significant enough to mention it. Like, he's dead. So we're off to find a new sacrifice. We find another drawing that says Daddy. He looks angry. And then we follow Bloody Footprints to find Megan. But she does not look normal.
She is not normal. Her lower half of her face is covered in black goo.
What is that? I don't know. My next note is, what the f***?
This is like pure horror stuff where she spazzes out and then something comes out of her mouth and just eats her body from, like, it turns her body inside out.
Yeah, she's like this, not a creature we've seen yet, somewhat spider armsy hybrid thing that she's like dangling from it in the middle. And this fight pissed me off because I don't know how a target can be so big and so small at the same time. Like, these legs are so spindly, so you have to aim accordingly, but it's still so big. But I do eventually take her down.
The music was very intense, which up until here, we don't get much music. Bless you.
Should I leave that in?
Sure.
I think I killed Megan. I think she's dead.
Well,
how do we feel about that?
The question is, isn't she already dead when the monster just came out of her?
I don't know. Is there a cure? I don't know, but screw her. Let's sacrifice her. Except actually we can't because we need a live sample, so we killed her for no reason.
Well, it was going to kill you anyways, and...
Yeah.
So there's that, but then going back to the ethical question, though, say that even if Megan's body could have been used to help revive your son, is it worth bringing him back to life, knowing that he's already been experimented on? Eric, our main character, has seen what can happen to these bodies that have been tested on. Isn't there any consideration of just leaving things be the way it is? Because what's going to happen if you bring your son back and he's in more pain, or he becomes a monster and kills more people?
Yeah, I think he just can't say for sure because he doesn't know exactly what's happened to Timmy versus what they've done to Megan. So I think he's just kind of like, if there's any chance, I gotta take it. We do get a key card off of her, though, which we need to exit the room. And then we find an elevator. And now we're on top of the mountain in a room with the second artifact spiraling in the ceiling.
And this outside area is the same outside area that we saw in one of our previous videos where Megan was in an airplane and pointing at this weird castle-looking thing.
We see the desk from the video with a console that shows a plane. It says 3 matches identified. Thomas, 4. Kevin, 9. Sally, 7. Activate? ? There's also an emergency shutdown button, but I only give it a second's thought before deciding it's not worth the risk.
Wait, you can press that button?
Yeah.
Oh, can we watch what happens if you choose that path?
Sure. I barely considered it at all in my playthrough. I went through all of this to save Timmy. I'm not swaying now. Screw these other kids, man. So, it's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. I would have hit that button so much faster than the game let me. But we see the artifact activate, and it sends out a ring of energy, and it knocks the plane down. So now we know how that happened.
I no, well, yes, but I do have a lot of questions with that. How? How does one, this artifact, locate whichever kids are on the flights? Like, how is it able to identify all this information, and how does it know that the match is to Timmy and not to any other ones? I'm assuming it has to do with us plugging things into Timmy, but still, how does it know where these kids are located and their matches and the flight they're on? And two, how do they target the flight to specifically letting that crash? And three, how is no one questioning things like this when consistent planes with children like this keep dying?
Yeah, that's kind of my big question, is why is nobody asking questions?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if it's a privately owned island, that gives us a little more understanding of, like, oh, people can't just waltz in here. But, like, they could get a warrant, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's that, but if you're consistently seeing flights disappear relatively close location to the peninsula or to the island, don't you have questions? Like, we know about the Bermuda Triangle for a reason. So right. How is this not?
And guess what? People explore it all the time because they're curious about it. That would be happening here,
exactly.
Too.
Exactly.
Final scene. Fade to black. Now it's 1 year later. We're going on a talk show?
Why?
I guess Timmy's alive.
Apparently.
And we do learn confirmation that we are Eric LeBlanc, a TV star and author. Is the host on, like, 8 shots of espresso?
Okay, the host pisses me off.
Let us respond before you ask another question, buddy.
And this host is being way too eager about trying to get him to go through some PTSD. Why would you do that? Why is this something that people want to see him showing how he probably killed people and swing an axe? Are people really that ignorant and so...
Yeah.
Don't you know how to describe it?
But to your point, though, why did Eric even agree to be on this show at all?
And why would you drag your son into doing this?
Exactly. Okay, so yeah, the axe demonstration. We, like, pause and look at the axe like it's bringing back memories or something. And then Timmy starts tweaking, but he seems to snap out of it. And then it fades to black again.
Question is the spazzing thing consistent for every kid or thing becoming a monster? And how do you start and stop? Because when... I cannot remember her name. Mary? That's not Mary. I don't know.
Megan.
Megan. Goodness gracious. When Megan turned...
She's Mary now.
Yeah. When Megan turned into a monster, it came out of her mouth. And is that just unique to the monster that she is? Or is this just a universal experience that everyone's going to go through and then become a different monster?
Because we've seen the shaking 3 times with the side effects video with Megan and now with Timmy. I mean, it looks like you can suppress it, but does it, like, continue to grow inside of you? Like, have things changed on a cellular level?
So if he were to become a monster, do you think Eric would have to kill his son on live television?
Oh, I hope so. See, it's his fault.
Yeah.
So you better handle it, right? I have no filter tonight. I'm sorry. No,
I like it.
So another flash forward. We're older Timmy. He's getting ready.
Another shower scene. At least we don't see any butts or stuff.
Upper butt. Almost butt. ABM.
Mm-hmm.
So he brushes his teeth for about 3 seconds. Doesn't rinse the toothbrush and doesn't rinse his spit out of the sink.
Also, he comes out of the shower fully dressed?
Yeah, he, like, puts a robe on, but you could see when he reaches for the robe that there's a sleeve on his arm. So I don't know if that was a mistake.
Why the shower? Why couldn't it be just him waking up?
Or just brush and start at the teeth brushing moment. But he follows up his teeth brushing with some whiskey. Buddy might have a problem.
Yeah, he does. So Timmy comes out of the bathroom and goes in his bedroom, where one side of the wall has a bunch of information about what I'm assuming is the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking at this, and then the sky starts changing.
I am confused. Number one, yes, he seems obsessed with his experience in the forest, which I guess he would be. Number two, it almost feels like the full moon activated him somehow. Mm-hmm. That's weird, because we've gotten no indication of that before.
Which I'm wondering, is it the artifact that every time someone hits activate, maybe the energy in the sky gets weird, and then the plane crashes.
That could be. And it would understand why he's still obsessed with it, because he'd want to, like, figure out how to quit that from happening if every time they hit it, he gets these issues where he's almost transforming, as we see happening here.
As we see eggs in his hands moving around under his skin.
Yeah, what is that? What is that? Come on.
Disturbing.
Anyway, we have some questions, some theories, especially the red paint issue. But also, like, how does the artifact work? I think we'll get into all of that and maybe do some research on it for the summary. I'm really excited for the Kentucky Scorcher category.
No.
We can't blame you for this, though. There is no normal options. These are not your fault. Okay, well, Gus is looking at me and whining at the door, so I think you might have to pee.
Okay, sounds good.
So we should probably hop off, but thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the summary next week.
Sounds good. Audacity on 1, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you for listening, and don't forget to send in any questions, comments, or game suggestions. You can find all our contact info on our website, replayreviewspod.com, or contact us directly through our site.
Did we completely miss something? Are we way off the mark? Or you just want us to take a deeper look at anything from the game? We'll tackle any topics you all want to hear in our season wrap-up episode.
We also have a Reddit where we discuss anything we're curious about. Go take a look and let us know what you're thinking. Our theme music is Condemned by Eggy Toast. They'll play you out, and we'll be back next week with the summary episode.